turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. So we have been talking about living a disciplined spiritual life, and we're going to continue on looking at that today in Romans chapter 12. A man named Martin Lloyd-Jones that said this, he said, when the church is absolutely different from the world, it invariably attracts it. When the church is absolutely different from the world, it invariably attracts it. You see, what the world needs is not some people that have some knowledge, not some people that can recite biblical stories, not people who just perform religious duty and ceremony, but what the world needs is people of depth who understand the Christian message. They view the world through that message, but they live out the message. So the things that we have seen and heard, the Bible stories that some of us have grown up hearing from being a child, that at some point that would actually take root within us and it would affect the way that we live. Not only our behaviors, the ways that but it should affect the way that our beliefs, our worldview manifests itself here on this earth. Everything that we do should be affected by the Word of God that we have come to understand, but then that we have applied to our daily living. That there is nothing that is too small that should not be affected by the Word of God and the things that we have come to know. So when, just for instance, when we come to situations like this, sometimes it's very easy, isn't it, to just fall into the routine of this is just what we do on Sundays. We come together and we worship. We know we're going to come here, sing some songs, and we're going to hear, you're going to have to endure me speaking to you for a while, and then you get to go home. But that's not how this should be. In the life of every believer, if you actually believe the things that you say you do, that when we come here and we declare the praises of Jesus in song, we recognize that music isn't just a time filler in a service. You understand that the Word of God commands the people of God to sing. It's not an option. It's not something we've just decided to do because people like music. It's commanded in God's Word that the people would sing. So that's why we do it. We come together and we hear God's Word, not because I have any authority before you, but because for some reason God has chosen me here in this moment to declare to you His Word. You take it as, thus says the Lord, not because I say it, but because you have checked to understand that what I'm telling you is what God has said. But you see, the point is that there is authority in what is spoken to you. Again, not because of a man, but because it's God's Word that is declared to you. But sometimes it's our disposition that we come with to situations like this. Do you come with an attitude understanding God is speaking by His Word? I better listen and understand then how it applies to my life. You see, that is what the world needs, is people who understand that what we're hearing is not just a religious exercise here, but we are hearing the Word of God. And it is necessary then for us to apply it to our life. And that is the discipline that we talk about today. This is not necessarily recognized, I guess, if you would look through spiritual disciplines, it's not necessarily recognized traditionally as something that would have been, I guess, labeled as a spiritual discipline, but I would say to you that it is a spiritual discipline, taking the things that we're hearing and spending time to understand, how does this look in my life on a daily basis? How should this affect the ways that I interact at my workplace, with my family, with my wife, with my children, with the church, with people who don't know Jesus? How should these things find themselves into my actions on a daily basis? So that's what we talk about today, is the spiritual discipline of simply doing what we hear, what the Word of God tells us that we ought to do. Now, this passage doesn't necessarily speak to that in itself, but I chose Romans 12 in this moment today. We'll start in verse 9, simply because there are some things in the Word of God that will take you a lifetime to understand. You can pursue the Word of God, study it intently, deeply and never exhaust or come to the end of all that there is to know about God's Word. Spend your whole life doing it. But you see, there are other things that are so simple that a child can understand it. And you see, the problem a lot of times in Christian living is not that we have failed to understand the deep things that theologians have debated for hundreds of years. That's not our problem. Our problem generally is that we have just failed to understand and apply the very, very simple elementary things that God's Word is very, very clear on, and we can understand without any debate. That's why we look at this today. This passage is something that you can spend your whole life studying this passage, trying to better understand or better live out this passage. It is very, very clear. It is very simple, but you can spend your whole life trying to, I guess, apply this and allow it to manifest itself in your behavior in more and more ways. Now, Romans 12, starting at verse 9. Says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, there are some things, again, this is one of those passages for me, and I think could be for everyone, a passage that you just read over and over and over every single day, because there is always some greater depth in application, a way that you can live this out on a daily basis. Now understand, again, as we read these things, a lot of it depends on our disposition or our attitude when we come to these passages. When you read this, these are not just good suggestions. When you sit down and study God's Word and you read this passage, do you take it as, verse 9, thus says the Lord, love must be sincere. The God of heaven, the creator of all things, is saying to you now, your love ought to be sincere. Do you take this as the very words of the God of heaven, the creator of all things? Verse 9, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. God is saying to you today, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Do you take this as the very word of God, the creator of all things? Verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. God is saying to you that you ought to be devoted to one another in love. And on we go. You see, the difference is that sometimes we just read these things because we're on a Bible reading plan, or we need to study God's Word, or that's the discipline that we do, but we do it heartlessly, not recognizing that it is the Word of God, the Creator of all things, who wants to relate to you, but He also wants to help you understand how to relate to this world. And the Word of God is telling you, again, thus saith the Lord, love must be sincere. We're going to look at some of those things here today. God is saying to you, love must be sincere. You see, understand that the Word of God tells us that love is the foundation of all Christian character. It is the fundamental Christian virtue that binds together every other virtue of the Christian life. It makes effectual every other virtue in the Christian walk. There is not one thing that you can do for God or for others that will be effective or pleasing to God or actually build somebody up unless it is done in love. The Word of God tells us this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting verse 1. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. We find the same thing in Colossians chapter 3, starting verse 12. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. In verse 14, it says, over all these virtues, over all what virtues? The ones he just said, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. Over all of these good things, in verse 14, he says, put on love. Because love binds them together in perfect unity. You see, sometimes our Christian walk is very fragmented. We do good in one area, or over here I'm doing okay, but it's very fragmented. You know what? You see what he is saying here is you can be patient, gentle, you can live with humility, kindness, compassion, but he says over all of these things can be fragmented in themselves, but what binds those virtues together is living in love. It is absolutely vital and necessary for everything that we do. But understand here that the love that we are being encouraged to live in or commanded to live in is a sacrificial love. This is the love that the Word of God is talking about, a sacrificial love. A love that is to be expressed not based on the merit of the one to whom we offer the love, but the love is to be expressed simply because God is good to you. That the love of God has been poured out on you. And because of this now, we have the obligation, we are commanded, it is a duty to express that same love toward other people, regardless of their reaction. You see, in the same way that Jesus was beaten and spit on, but he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. In the same way, when you express love to somebody, they might spit in your face. And the human reaction is what? To get angry and offended. Because why didn't they receive what I offered them? Why would they react that way? It's terrible that they would do that. At some point in your life, you have done the same thing to God. But you see, he looked on you with kindness. There have been many times in my life that I've done that to God. Thank God that he has not treated me as my sins deserve. The Word of God said he is compassion. He says he is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Says he does not always treat us as our sins deserve. But as a father has compassion on his children, he understands how we are formed. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he cast our transgressions from us. What if we reacted the same way to the people around us? As far as the east is from the west, so far will I be willing to cast their sins from me and forgive them. You see, the Word of God calls us that it is a Christian duty to express sacrificial love to the people around us, not because of their reaction, not because of how they receive it, not because of whether they deserve it or not, but simply because God is love and he calls his people to be love. You see, we have to understand how vital it is to grow in sincere sacrificial love. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 22. Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus in his words. They asked him in verse 36, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. He goes on, he says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Do you understand what Jesus was doing in this moment? He was talking to this Jewish audience, these Pharisees, who had grown up studying the law. They were the teachers of the law to the Israelites. Now, in that moment, they had something like 614 laws that they were to live by to honor God. 614 laws. Jesus reduced it to two. He said, all of these 600 laws that you have, if you just loved God with your heart, soul, and mind, and you loved your neighbor as yourself, all of those 600 laws hang on those two. You see, what he's saying here is we're making this too complicated. Now, the law had its purpose, which we won't get into all of that today. The law had its purpose. But Jesus was saying, all of these laws that you're observing, they hang on these two. If you would just train yourself, grow in love for God, give yourself fully to Him, and if you will give yourself fully to the people around you, all of these laws hang there. And you see, this is why it is necessary then. When we come to passages in the Word of God and we sit down to read God's Word and study God's Word, that we don't just read this verse 9 that says love must be sincere. Well, that's a nice thought. No, the God of heaven has commanded you. Your love must be sincere. Why? Because everything hinges on your ability to love God and love the people around you. Everything. And so my point is to you today that we have to be people who train ourselves to be disciplined spiritually, that when I sit down to look into God's holy word, I discipline myself in that moment to think before I start reading, the God of heaven, the creator of all things, wants to speak into my heart now in this moment to tell me how to relate to him and how to relate to the people around me. What am I willing to do to change, to alter my life, to bring it in line with God's word? He goes on, verse 9. He says, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. You see, we take this, we train ourselves to take this as a command, as the word of God, the creator of all things, is saying to you now, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. You see, that word hate in the Greek language there means to detest or to be horrified by that which is evil. To detest, hate, or be horrified by that which is evil. You see, the Word of God is calling us not to be people who would kind of lightly embrace things that are evil, that we can kind of get close to it as long as I stay a little bit distant from it. The Word of God is is telling you that you ought to be horrified by the things that are evil. And you see, that happens when we are people of depth, when we think about this statement, hate what is evil. Well, why would I hate it? Why are we called it with such strong language to detest it, to be horrified by it? Because of the effect of sin and evil in humanity. You see, a lot of times we live this life where we are very comfortable. As Americans, generally, we are very comfortable. We have enough money to pay for the things that we need. A lot of us have money to pay for things that we don't need, and your garages, as mine does, probably shows that that's true. As I've said before, people make a living off of us storing our junk. It's real. We came home from when we were renting our house in Dover. Thankfully, we were renting our house. Is that bad to say when I'm talking about love? That thankfully it was my landlord's problem and not mine. I mean that in love. But we came home. It was a couple times that we came home from the Dominican and pipes had burst in our basement. We come home. You generally get home late. It's like 11 o'clock or midnight. You get home and your basement's full of water. And the last time I called storage units to try to find, like, again, where can I put my junk until I take care of this basement. I called 4 different storage places. Not one place had any storage unit available. That's how much Americans pay for people to store the junk. What was I saying? I had a point. I guess what I was getting at in the beginning was the Word of God tells us to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. And I do that, sometimes we read these statements in the Word of God, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. But we don't discipline ourselves to think about what that means. What does it mean? Why are we using this strong language to hate or be horrified that, by that which is evil? And we do so because of the effect in this world. But when I engage my mind and think about what is the effect of evil in this world? Well, all kinds of people all throughout human history have been abused and neglected and cheated and murdered because of evil. You see the devastating, if you just think about it for a moment, you see the devastating effects of evil in this world. And sometimes that starts with something that seems fairly innocent. You see, the Word of God tells us not to embrace things that are evil, that lead people down evil paths, but to be horrified by it. You see, the Word of God tells us that sin is not a small thing. The Word of God tells us that sin wages war against your spirit. There is an active war against your spirit in sinful things of this world. When you give your spirit to something that is sinful, it is not a one-time act. It is not something that you do in a moment, but the Word of God tells us that it is active in a campaign warring against your spirit. And you see, I am horrified by evil because so many people give themselves to that. Because the temptation is constantly there around you to give yourself to evil. And the effect of evil is devastating. And you see, rather than being the people then who see the line of what is evil, and I try to get as close as possible, I still haven't stepped over. But rather, we would be people that would say, why would I ever want to get anywhere near that line? It's horrifying what happens as a result of evil. Why would I ever want to come close to that? I'm going to run from that. You see, it says, hate what is evil, but cling with everything within you, all of your power. Cling to the things of God that are good in this world. You see, because in a world that is full of evil, you can bring light into this world. As you cling to the good things that God is doing here in this earth, as you cling to the good things that God has established here in this earth, as you bring those to the forefront of people's thoughts, maybe it's in your workplace when you're around people that are just complaining constantly about everything. But you see, at a moment, you redirect them. Think about something positive for a moment. It can be as simple as that. But you see, the Word of God tells us to cling to what is good, not only because that is what is best for you, because what this world needs is people who carry around the good things of God with them everywhere they go, because people are consumed by all that is negative, constantly. Constantly negative. Doesn't take you long. Turn on the news when you get home. It'll take you 2 minutes to find that out. The people of God need to be people who carry around that which is good in a world full of darkness and evil. He goes on in verse 10. He says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Again, training yourself. When you sit down and read God's word, God is saying to you, the creator of all things is saying to you, be devoted to one another. The people around you, the people in your family, in your church, the people that are your brothers and sisters in Jesus, be devoted to them in love. Honor one another above yourselves. You see, we have to be people who pray for and train ourselves in a love that is truly sacrificial, that brings me to the place where I prefer my brothers and sisters in Christ over myself, that I would actively elevate them over myself. So you see, the Word of God a lot of times can become a prayer for you. The Word of God, again, says here, honor one another above yourselves. What if you prayed every day, God, help me to honor other people above myself? Now, be honest with yourself here in this moment. How many times do you think that way, let alone pray that way? How many times do you think on a daily basis, who can I honor above myself today? How can I show my devotion to my brothers and sisters today? Because you see, we live in a world that is constantly trying to elevate self. Again, you see this in social media. It doesn't take you very long to get on social media and see, well, let's say it this way. Jamie and I were just at the beach. It's fascinating to me, disgusting to me, a lot of things. When you see the people, you're sitting at the beach trying to look at the ocean, and you have this person over here in your peripheral that's spending 2 hours taking selfies to try to put online. And then you look out and there's a husband out here taking pictures of his wife who's posing for 2 hours to put online. And then these people over here are doing the same thing. You're surrounded by people whose whole time at the beach is not like, let me be in awe of this amazing environment, but let me find this perfect picture of me to put up online so other people can tell me it's awesome. Seriously, that is the world that we live in. And people will lie to you about it because they will put all kinds of filters on it to make it look like something it's not. We laugh about that because what else can you do? But when you really get to the root of it, you see how, again, amazing this statement is in the Word of God compared to the culture that we live in that is so devoted to self. It says be devoted not to yourself, but be devoted to one another. It says honor one another above yourself. You see, sometimes we see those things in social media and we think that's just the way the culture is. We kind of take it as normal now. But when you start comparing, we'll just say at least the culture in America, to the culture described that should be ascribed to the people of God in God's words, it is worlds apart. Not even close. You see, the Word of God tells you and I, the Creator of all things is saying to you and me today, there is nothing in you that should be devoted to yourself. But what is true, real fullness of life is when you are devoted to others. And when you honor other people above yourself, that's when you will actually find the life that all those people spending hours to take the perfect photo of themselves to put online, the life they are searching for is found actually in honoring other people above themselves. And maybe next time I'll tell them, can you please honor me by not taking these photos all day? The Word of God goes on, and there's more that we could break down in this passage. Again, you could spend years of your life just in this passage. And I would encourage you to do that. I'll tell you, I guess, briefly how I generally go about reading the Bible, the things that I do every day. So I have 4 Bible apps on my phone. Well, I think I have more than that, but I have 4 that I use every day. One is I'm reading through the Old Testament I read two chapters of the Old Testament every day. One is in the New Testament. I have to have all these because in my mind, I'm sure there's a better way, but I don't want to lose my place. So open one app, I read through the Old Testament, two chapters. I read through the New Testament, two chapters, and another app. I have another app that I'm reading through Psalms. I have another app I'm reading through Proverbs. I read through Psalms. I get to the end. I go back to the beginning of Psalms. I do that over and over. Same with Proverbs. When I get to the end of the New Testament, the end of the Old Testament, I'll go back and restart. But you see, there are also some passages like this one in Romans chapter 12, just a small section. Read it every day because it will take you your lifetime to do it. And it's simple. There's nothing ambiguous, nothing hard to understand in this passage. But you see, we need to start with these basic things and remind myself every day of the simple truths that God has called me to, and train myself to do it. Because as I said to you, a lot of times our problem is not that I don't understand the different positions of Revelation and how all these things played out will play out. That is not our problem. Our problem is, many times, that I need to learn in greater measure what it means for love to be sincere, to hate what is evil and cling to what is good, to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, and to honor one another above myself. That is what we need to know and live by every day. This is what God is calling you to. As we close, the worship team can come up this morning. As we close, we're talking about this again as a spiritual discipline today, using this passage as an example to help us to understand that employing these things, applying these things to my life, takes training and discipline. That when I sit down to read God's word, first of all, I approach it understanding the Creator of all things is saying this to me today. What do I need to do with this? How does it apply to my life? How do I live this out every day? And whether it's this passage or any, doesn't matter. My point is to not do spiritual things to do them heartlessly. Don't do them heartlessly. Train yourself when you sit down, and whether it's opening a Bible app or opening God's Word, that you sit for a moment and remember, who is speaking to me here? God, the God of creation, is speaking to me, a mere human, and he is telling me how I ought to interact with him and the people around me every day. Lord, we thank you today for your goodness, your love. We thank you for your word, again, that we can spend our lives pursuing deeper understanding of complicated things, but also your word is so simple that any child can understand it. The difficulty comes in understanding how to apply it. Father, help us first of all to train ourselves and be disciplined to approach your word as your word, not just as a religious text or some good life advice, but as God, you, the creator of all things, speaking to our hearts, telling us how to relate to you and to this world. Father, we thank you that you have not left us to ourselves to blindly stumble through this earth, but you have given us your word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Father, we pray that we would honor you in all things as we search through your word and as we apply it to our life. Father, we love you today. In your name we pray. Amen.